This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Special Edition podcast on Justice League War. Hello, welcome to the special edition iFanboy podcast on Justice League War. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust, Paul Montgomery.
Hey there.
And Ryan Haupt.
Good to be back in the hot seat.
Calling all the way from a foreign land.
Correct.
And you may notice that we are without Chris Niesman. Chris Niesman, who is a member of the Brain Trust, has decided to take a step down for a while, focus on some other things. So he may be back for some special appearances later on, because there'll be some more of these films coming out. But for right now, the three of us are going to soldier on without him. This is the 18th film of the series, Justice League War is. And it's the first set in the New 52 world, I guess, unless you count the very end of the Flashpoint film. And what I thought was interesting was that you guys will recall, and you listening at home or on the bus or wherever you are will recall, that we theorized, once we knew that Flashpoint was coming, we theorized that perhaps these films would take a page out of the comics and then suddenly and switch all the way to doing New 52 films and abandoning the old DCU because they are films based on comic book stories.
And, yeah, we're the Brain Trust for a reason, people.
And
what we're doing.
Apparently, that's what's going to happen. We're going to get to that after this discussion of the film itself. But so this is the first one that is an adaptation of Justice League Origin, which was the first six issues of Justice League by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee, and it was. It was a little bit longer, actually, than the normal film. Did you guys notice that?
It was 82, slightly, yeah.
80. This says 79 minutes, so 79 minutes as opposed to usually around 70. The big thing before the film was that they swapped out, of course, Aquaman, because why use Aquaman in anything? Just because he's awesome. And they put in Captain Marvel, or Shazam, as we call him now, instead. So that's where we were leading into the film. I liked it. I was into it. I really enjoyed it. I think I liked it so much because I had really low expectations because it was a New 52 film and I kept waiting to be obsessed with the costuming and I was obsessed with Green Lantern's horrible bullseyes on his shoulders.
Yeah, those are odd.
But that served absolutely no purpose whatsoever. But yeah. I liked it. I loved Wonder Woman's costume design. I thought that was a great costume design. They really toned down the sort of design elements of Batman's costume. Even Superman's costume didn't really have all those lines and things on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not a great costume, but they got rid of those elements, which is strange why they kept that weird bullseye on Green Lantern. Even Flash didn't have those lines running through his costume.
He did have some extra piping, but it didn't like glow and wasn't accented in the way that it is in the comics. So
right, it didn't really show up that well unless he was really not moving.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman's costume was the biggest departure, and I'm surprised. I mean, I know the movie just came out, but I'm surprised we're not seeing more people talking about that because, you know, representation in comics and women in comics has been an issue of late, and I feel like this her changes in her costume were a step in the right direction towards minimizing the overt impracticality and over sexualization of some of those elements.
I just loved the boots. I loved the little turtleneck bit. I loved the arms. I thought it was a great look.
Yeah, and they also make a plot point out of it.
Yes.
The fact that she feels like a warrior in it, and there's a guy who apparently cross dresses in it, because it makes him feel powerful too.
And she lauds him for it.
Yes.
Like it was a great opportunity for even more like kind of weird gender issues to come into play. But Wonder Woman's like, no, man, rock it, go nuts,
yeah.
Have fun.
And then we had Cyborg, who starts off very bulky, slims down a bit as the film goes on. And one of the things I didn't, I guess, anticipate was in the portrayal of Shazam was that he was, and I actually liked it, was that he was constantly flickering with lightning.
Yeah.
Around,
yeah, that was cool.
Which was a really cool touch.
It's one of those elements that you can do animated better than you could do in the comics.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is pretty basic. If you saw the end of the Flashpoint or if you read the comics, the Dark Side and his parademons have invaded Earth, and the various members of the Justice League come together to stop it, and this is their first time meeting each other. So you get all those introductions and things that happen in the comics, and you get that here. So there's a bit younger, slightly more inexperienced members of the team here, and I had a lot of fun with it. I thought that I don't think Jay Oliva, who directed this, is one of their better directors. I think he's sort of a workman-like director, but I thought on the whole, I thought it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, going into it, I hadn't been a big fan of that arc of the comics, and I think I read the first two issues and I kind of dropped off of it. I said this kind of isn't for me. It's not really designed for me. It felt like it was designed for newer readers, and even where there was some other New 52 stuff that felt like more established readers could appreciate. So it just felt like this. Okay, this isn't for me. So I'm just gonna try to find. You know, find my love somewhere else. And the first act I thought was a little bit rough in this, but then the more I watched it, the more I got into it. And I think the movie really comes alive with a Wonder Woman sequence where she, I mean, there are bright points before then, but when she starts taking on the parademons outside the
Yeah.
White House, that's really when the film kicks into gear, and it almost becomes set piece after set piece, but in a really strong way. And I think the key to this movie that made it so successful for me was the relationships. Not just the relationship. There are a lot of characters here, and I think it
Yep.
was smart to leave Aquaman out, and to bring
Ooh.
Shazam in. I like Aquaman a lot, but Shazam brings something really interesting to the story, and I think he was a real high point for
Yeah,
me.
no, I thought he was great. I thought the relationship of him and
Cyborg.
Cyborg was great. He was in this story, Billy Batson's a fan of Vic
Victor
Stone's,
Stone, yeah.
and he's Vic Stone's
Victory.
Victory Stone, who is a football player, and so then now he gets to be a teammate of his hero, which was a nice little twist. I mean, I liked what he brought. I'm just a big Aquaman fan.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I love Aquaman too, but I think that there's so many characters in here that it's.
I thought they actually did a really good job of balancing them out.
Don't worry, Connor. Water is coming.
Well, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. But just
I thought they did
before.
a good job of sort of differentiating them all. You know, we got a sense of who everybody was. I like the fact that I enjoyed the fact that Green Lantern was kind of a buffoon.
Yeah.
And another
That's
costume
usually the
point. I
Flash,
agree.
but I like those Green Lantern.
Well, I agree that the bullseyes are very dumb, but one thing about Green Lantern's design in this, and it's another one of those touches where it's easier to do an animation, is that his ring really glows.
Right.
It is bright. It is an eyesore almost on the screen when it's there because it's emitting so much light.
Which was what made the contrast between him and Batman, you know, compelling, is that
That
they're
was the
literally
other key
opposite.
relationship for me, was like Batman feeling sort of like an older brother to Green Lantern. Even though they're all sort of just starting out, Batman, rightfully so, feels the most seasoned, and I like that he kind of took Hal on as, you know, sort of his ward in a way, you know, just showing him the ropes and saying, "Listen, you have to concentrate." He figures out, you know, immediately, pretty much how his powers work, and then it's all about concentration. And I like that Hal also figures out that Batman is, you know, well, he's not a vampire. He's got some other things going on, and he's just a human being. And so I think that was another one of the relationships that I like here. And as we'll talk later, moving forward, I think that they can do some interesting things with that.
I liked Justin Kirk a lot as Green Lantern. I'm I'm in the bag for Justin Kirk. I love him in Weeds. I loved him in Animal Practice. Mm-hmm. I just love his line readings. I think he's funny. And so I thought he was perfect as sort of the overconfident, slightly incapable Green Lantern.
He sort of fills the role that that Wally had in the Justice League.
They've totally swapped Wally and,
yeah.
and which is good. I liked the let's just talk about the voices for a second. I really liked Christopher Gorham's Flash because he had sort of a Chicago accent.
You said, yeah.
Which was different because, you know, I like when they have, you know, they don't all just sound the same. And it was nice.
I mean, they made him sound more blue collar working class.
Right. And more regional, you know, Central City is sort of a Chicago-esque city in the comics. And I like that bit of it.
This is one of the first instances where I could really tell the difference between a Barry and a Wally.
Right.
Usually they just go with the sort of the Wally personality, and here it's definitely something far different than what we've seen before.
And I think the only one I didn't really like, and I think this speaks to the larger problem, and one we've talked about before, is I thought Alan Tudyk's Superman was kind of blah.
I was actually very impressed that he sort of disappeared into that role, but I think the thing that I think what you're noticing is that Superman isn't really fleshed out in the script.
Well, that's what speaks to the larger problem of Superman.
Yeah.
I think of all the characters in this film, he was the least interesting and had the least amount to do that was compelling.
Yeah.
And when he showed up, it's just kind of, you know, I didn't really feel the weight of his character at all.
I agree with that.
Don't know exactly what to do with him still after all this time.
Yeah.
They were still giving him kind of a Man of Steel treatment.
No, you're right.
Where he's gruffer. He's kind of gruff and brusque and not warm.
Yeah, I was trying to get over that because, you know, it's the beginning, it's their early story, and as the new 52 set up, you know, he doesn't quite know how to restrain his powers at that point. He's a little bit arrogant. I don't love that characterization, but mm-hmm. I can see what they're going for, and hopefully that, you know, they can shake out of that.
What was funny was that George Newbern was in this as Steve Trevor.
Yeah. He had a great moment at the end outside the Capitol. You know, when he sees the look between Wonder Woman and Superman, and he's just like, you know what, I don't need this.
Poor Steve Trevor.
I love that he forms like a paranoid Justice League of America, you know, to combat, you know, the possibility that this girl that he likes, his, you know, her boyfriend is maybe an alien terrorist. I kind of like that idea.
Oh, that is just kind of jealous. I mean, you know, I like the little dollops of Superman, Wonder Woman flirtation here. I mean, if you're going to go for that world, then go for it. And I like that bit when they meet on the, you know, saving the Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the You're Strong line.
Yeah. I thought that was all fine. I mean, Superman wasn't bad. I thought he was got the least amount of love in this film.
Yeah.
I also didn't love his character design. Like, the costume was fine.
Really big head.
Really bulky compared to the other character. Like, I liked the more lithe Batman, Green Lantern, Flash looks. Right? And then you see Superman, he's kind of hulking almost. And I get that he needs to look physically stronger, but it didn't quite mesh.
Right.
This is a really dumb note, but I think the blue is too dark as well.
Hmm.
I think it's like it's too close to navy.
Plus, his underwear must have fallen off at some point.
Yes,
that's it. He's not even wearing those anymore. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I did.
What's going on?
Let me ask you another question about the art in general. And I know I've noticed this for the last couple of films, but I haven't brought it up because I've forgotten. But this time I actually took notes, so that was helpful.
Okay.
Have you guys noticed that like there's like a soft focus on the entire thing? Or is that just my TV? Or is it? It feels like. It's a very sort of misty look to the film.
I did the SD rental, so I don't feel then, yeah. I feel disingenuous too. Yeah, I was like, do I need to go up a dollar for HD?
Soft focus to it all, but that could just be me.
I don't know.
It could be crazy. I also noticed that they place Gotham City in the central part of the country,
and Coast City was in Florida.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't notice that part, but I did notice that the timestamp in Gotham was Central Standard Time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the map that they show when they're talking about the cities. Sorry, my chair almost just broke on me. the map that they show when they're talking. I am not in the most high tech setup right here, folks. I know.
We're just glad we can hear you.
I'm off doing science, but it's very low tech and dirty science. They show a map and they only show the Eastern Seaboard and they talk about. They talk about Metropolis, Gotham, and Coast City, and a light pops up in Florida when they say Coast City, and I was like, huh, all right.
Interesting.
I mean, there is, you know, there's Air Force bases down there. Hal could be stationed down there for a bit, I guess.
But I thought overall it was fun. I mean, you know, it's we've talked about it before. With these kind of big stories, a lot of characters, you're not going to get a ton of character moments of depth, but I thought they did a good job.
I thought for the amount of characters, though, they do actually get a lot of...
Yeah, you can get into the story and the action.
Yeah, some down notes, I think. I liked Shamar Moore as Victor Stone, as Cyborg. I thought he did a really good job. The character-wise, I don't think they balanced it quite well with the pettiness of how angry he was at his dad for not showing up at his game. I was like, you can play that, but they don't have it dialed in quite right because he's pissed off that his dad won't come to his game and he's working on what is obviously some very important science.
And so he goes and destroys it.
And yeah, right, he just like grabs it with his bare hands and was like, rang a little false to me. I was like, you sound
exactly, especially since like Paul, I had to miss your game because I'm here doing science and you didn't yell at me, so you understood that the science.
I totally understood. Yeah.
I mean, I understand years worth of resentment building up, and when you're a father-son relationship, it's different, but...
And I like that he has a plaque on his seat.
When he ripped
Silas Stone.
When he ripped the mother box out of the little stasis field, I was like, just an idiot?
But I also couldn't... I ended up going back to the plaque. I couldn't figure out if he was supposed to be high school or college. Like, they were talking about recruitment, but it was...
It was high school, but at that point, like, yeah.
Did you guys go to high schools that had assigned seatings at the football games? Like,
no.
Was my town just too small? Like, you lived in New York, Connor, but
we didn't really have football in New York, but
assigned seating with a plaque for the fathers.
It just
players.
Seemed very formal and he does sound a bit older than high school, but
yeah, that was his voice is a little mature. Apparently Victor Stone's a smoker.
Yeah, the whole thing deep. With I thought it was a good performance. Like once you get into the actual cyborg thing,
I thought it was great. Yeah.
That also raises the point that he goes through that transformation very quickly and becomes a member of the Justice League or the Super Seven or whatever the hell they are. Yeah.
I liked him. And I also like him on the team. I mean, I know that's a point of contention still even now, but he brings a different element. You know, the technology element. It's something that no one else on the team can do. And so it's a different wrinkle in the story.
You could argue that Batman could kind of do that stuff, but Batman has so many other things that he's juggling that, you know.
And Batman, I mean, Batman can't provide like that on the spot battlefield integration with the tech that Cyborg can.
Speaking of Batman and going low tech, why does he need to turn into Matches Malone to get to Apocalypse?
Because he wanted to get taken away and the Predators would have noticed his mask and cape.
I liked how ridiculous he looked when he tied the cape around his waist.
I was like, what is going on?
What is happening? Now?
What is happening? Why is Batman putting a cape on like a toga? But
I also got like the minute before that when he removes the cowl and he's talking to Hal and says that, you know, my name is Bruce Wayne and I watched my parents murdered right in front of me. I was like, we're not getting a flashback, are we? Like, how much of this is he going to do right now? Because this is going to be awkward.
I also like that Green Lantern had no idea who Bruce Wayne was.
Yeah, he's like, "Who's Bruce Wayne?" He was like, "Wait a minute, you have a satellite?"
That was a good line.
There was some funny bits in it. I thought there was some good stuff. Good, I think the character work was strong. I thought it was a really fun time. I didn't think it was a great film. There was some problems. I think that someone like Lauren Montgomery is probably one of their top directors, but
no relation. So, but it's. No, I want to see more of Sean Astin as Shazam. I thought he was like unusually funny. Like I don't think I've ever gotten as hearty of laughs out of these films as I had with Sean Astin.
He's a great choice. This is a sort of really inspired choice.
It's really inspired and it's like he thinks that Wonder Woman has a crush on him and it's great. And I love that. I mean, there's a how do you play Shazam, how do you play, you know, an adolescent who's in the body of a superhero, and also how do you
do Tom Hanks
and make it timeless, and even though he references World of Warcraft, I actually really like that line where he's talking to Darkseid. And we should mention Darkseid. We've seen Darkseid with better characterization before. Here he's kind of just a force of nature,
right?
I did like that he did the whole I am entropy line.
Yeah. He's scary, and I think it works. I don't think I'm just thinking of like the Adventures of Superman series. you know, he there was something. I mean, it wasn't the
he was more of a despot in the past. Here, he's just more of a like a monster.
It's kind of like a like Apocalypse, like the Marvel character.
Yeah, and it sort of goes back to the heart of the problems at DC right now. You know, there's just not that level of interesting characterization going on. But I don't think we've really seen them since very much.
And oh, and I was a little ticked that Desaad got Jonah Hex's lip isthmus. Look, that's Jonah Hex's.
Just cut it.
Just cut it off.
Are we sure that Jonah Hex hasn't been sent to the future and it becomes Desaad?
He should be a part of the Justice League. I don't know why he isn't. That would be a lot of fun with it. No, Jonah Hex with his American flag on the back of his.
You mean Easy Rider Jonah Hex?
Easy Rider Jonah Hex from the comics of late. Yeah.
So there's not a ton to talk about story wise because it's basically just an invasion pushed back by the heroes. So there's not a ton to analyze, but
I would say pleasantly surprised.
Yes,
I mean,
definitely.
It is. It's uneven, but the more, like I said, the more I watched of it, the more I got into it. And
I thought the characters really interacted well, and I think the voice acting was really strong.
Yeah.
On the whole, mm-hmm. Michelle Monaghan was a good Wonder Woman. I liked Wonder Woman's character a lot. I know people didn't really like that in the comics at the time, but I really enjoyed it. You know, she's a foreign fighter who's never been to the man's sort of modern world, and I like that sort of fish out of water aspect of it, at least in the beginning.
And I also noticed that she was never as flummoxed or flustered by hordes of parademons in the way that the other heroes were.
Right.
Like she said, okay, here's a horde of monsters. I have a sword. I am going to take care of this the only way I know how.
That's her milieu, man. She knows how to, you know, you give her a horde of monsters, she takes action with her sword.
Yeah. And
but I liked that because, you know, Green Lantern was posturing so much about how I can handle anything. I'm the best. But when it, you know, when push came to shove, I mean, he stood up, he got the job done, but he did not handle it with quite the aplomb.
Right.
Yeah, and even at the end with the president's address, and she's talking to Superman saying that I recognize the gods in all of these other heroes except for you. You're unlike anyone that I've seen. But it's a bit middle school.
It was an interesting.
Well, she's, you know, on, she's
it was an interesting twist on Grant Morrison's take because she called. Shazam, Zeus, which makes sense with the lightning bolt, but I always thought that Superman was supposed to be the Zeus. It's not important.
Well, she's Superman as Mr. Wonder Woman, so that's...
Yeah, exactly. No, I guess that's right. And I like that Green Lantern was Apollo. That was a characterization we never quite got from Grant Morrison's Justice League when he was doing the Pantheon, but it makes sense, you know, light, sun, light. I dig it. Arrogance.
Arrogance too, yeah.
So we all... pretty much enjoyed it. That's which is good. So what happened last time with Flashpoint was that it ended with a little cut scene in the credits, which is clearly the influence of Avengers and Joss Whedon and Marvel Studios. Even the writer said at the premiere in Los Angeles that he was heavily influenced by Joss Whedon and Avengers. So this episode, this movie, I'll get there eventually. This movie we had. The little credit scene in which we see the sea and all the dead fish, mostly sharks, and then one of the Atlantean ships pops up and one of the soldiers is holding the dead body of the king and swears revenge against the people of the surface, which means that we'll get into why we know the next film will probably be, not the next film, but the next series of films will be getting Throne of Atlantis.
Okay.
Most likely.
Well, that's smart. I actually missed the end credits. I didn't watch through the credits.
Oh, yeah, so that was the credits.
I totally forgot that they were started doing that, but okay, cool. No, that makes total sense now.
So before we
Are you
get
sure
to...
it's not going to be a documentary about illegal shark finning?
Well, that could be. I would actually... That's really important that everyone knows about it.
Yes,
so maybe
it is.
Before we get to talking about Batman and Son, or not Batman and Son, Son of Batman. Batman and Son is an old lumber company. Son of Batman and then the Batman arc. Arkham Asylum movie. Paul, why don't you tell the people about what they've announced as their plans for these films? They're switching up a bit.
So basically, there's an article on CBR about this, and they've got a plan now. And
like
you mentioned that they've noticed what's going on with Marvel Studios and how they're doing and the numbers that they're getting. And so maybe we should try some of this too. And so they're going to try their goal. The plan right now, they said, is to do three films a year. And two of those films will be part of this continuity. And then the third will be something else.
Experimental.
Some other thing. So the way it used to work, would it be two or three films a year, but they were all sort of just
We got two or three of a year, and they were all different.
They were all different.
Play around with it. Now we're going to get 3 a year, where two of which are going to take place in this new 52 world, and then the third will be an extra one. They mentioned they'd love to do Gotham by Gaslight. They mentioned they'd love to do Superman Red Sun as that third film. Mm-hmm. But for now, we're going to get everything in the new 52 world, which means assuming they can get them, the same voice cast, which was a bummer because I really like the idea of different actors interpreting these characters, which has been lots of fun.
Yeah.
So the same voice cast, the same direction or design for the characters. So basically the new 52. And the next film is Son of Batman, which is the Damian story, but they are cramming it into this new 52 world. So it's slightly changing that a bit, which really annoys me, but that's what are you going to do?
That's sort of the thing. So I read this and I saw this headline before I actually watched the movie, and I said, I don't like that idea. I like that they're always doing different voice casting and they're doing different experiments, and they're taking, when they're doing adaptations, for the most part, they try to do something with the style to match, at least, it's a spiritual successor to what the penciler was doing.
Right.
Sometimes they adhered closer to others. Sometimes it didn't make sense for them to do that in animation, so they didn't. But anyways, it was a case by case thing. And so I was like, I don't know if I like the idea of them doing this, this continuity thing. Now that I've watched the movie, I think they did come up with a pretty good voice cast. So that's at least strong as a base. And I like, as I said, some of these relationships like Cyborg and Shazam and Batman and Green Lantern.
Right.
There's things that they can also build on, but that's what future films are for. But I think the downside is still what you said. If they're taking the Damian story and shoehorning it into this continuity, that could be problematic.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind them adapting New 52 stories.
Right.
Do a Court of Owls movie, or what? Do a Throne of Atlantis movie, or do whatever. But are they going to do a Hard Traveling Heroes, but jam it into the New 52? I don't want to see that. Well, right. I do, but not in the New 52. But
so hopefully, but they do have that third slot.
Right,
if it's something really different,
means for me the third movie is going to be the one that's really exciting.
Yeah,
I do like this. As you said, I like this world. I think if you're going to have a cast moving forward, this is a really strong cast to have. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like Jason O'Mara as Batman. He wasn't spectacular, but I thought he was good. Maybe this will put to rest all the people who complain every time that Kevin Conroy isn't Batman. Now they know they won't.
Nothing will ever put that to rest.
Did you just say that maybe comics fans will stop?
Maybe
they'll be reasonable for some reason.
If this means more Justin Kirk Green Lantern, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
More Christopher Gore and Flash, because I thought those guys were great. Do a Flash Green Lantern movie. I'm all over that.
Yeah, Brave and the Bold sort of thing.
So we'll see. So the next film after Son of Batman is they're doing the third film is the Batman Arkham Asylum, which takes place in the world of the video game, which I've never played. That'll be interesting.
I wonder if they'll get Kevin Conroy back for that one.
Damn you! You found a hole in my argument.
The thing with that is the first two of those games in that trilogy were written by Paul Dini, so you're already sort of in that Batman the Animated Series wheelhouse, so it's just slightly different.
It'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Those are good games. Really, those are a lot of fun.
And actually, as annoyed as I am, the shoehorning Son of Batman into that world, I did... I saw the trailer online and I watched the featurette on it on the disc, and it looks fun. I mean, it's the problem with shoehorning in is they change a lot,
Did they say who Damian was? Again, I rented this, so I hadn't seen the extra
feature. Damian's just some little kid actor you've never heard of.
Oh, okay.
But who's a little too precocious in the featurette for my taste. But you won't be happy to know, Paul, that they are basically converting Tim into Dick Grayson in the film, so that the clashes between Dick and Damian, for the heart of the father, instead of how it was in the comics with Tim.
Dick and Damian have their special relationship, so I don't mind.
Tim is America and England.
Tim is gone. Tim is gone. He's my favorite Robin, but
Canada, he's... that relationship.
It looks interesting. Talia is the main villain. Ra's al Ghul is there, and Deathstroke's Terminator somehow in the story. But
they love Deathstroke now. Deathstroke is in everything.
It does look fun. I mean, I'll give it that. I did watch it going, okay, this could actually be really fun, as annoyed as I am that they're doing this. But because there's a lot of out of the costume stuff, because in these films you don't tend to get a lot of the personal things. You know, you really don't have time for that. You got to do that big story. So here they showed a lot of stuff between, you know, Bruce and Damian, but that'll be interesting. We've seen nothing yet on the next film. And then after that, presumably the next three, we'll hear about Throne of Atlantis.
Do you think they'll stretch that out over more than one film, or is Throne of Atlantis just going to be one film?
Nah, it's basically this film again, but just replace Darkseid with Aquaman and his army. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically another invasion. But
and this... they have to be setting up the Justice League of America storyline.
I think that'd be a great one to do. Let's think of some ones we could do. So that one would be great.
I mean, when they sort of did that in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, that was one of the strongest arcs, I thought. So, yeah, the Justice League of America would be good.
Because then that way you can have twice the amount of heroes and having them all fight each other, which is what they always love to do.
There's a lot of reasons they would do that. I mean, like, they established Steve Trevor already. Like, he didn't have to be in that movie at all, but I think they established him on purposefully. And Green Arrow is in that team, and they're really trying to make something of Green Arrow
right now.
That's
true, you're right.
So
I was actually thinking, we used to talk about the fact that they even mentioned it, that they basically at this point only do Justice League, Superman, and Batman films, anything related to the bigger media properties. They did that Green Lantern film when they had a Green Lantern movie. And now they have a Green Arrow show, which is popular. They're about to launch a Flash show.
Right.
And so now we can get a Flash film.
Green Arrow Year One would be great. I mean, that's, you know, it's not New 52, but I feel like it's still...
Right.
In continuity, more or
it
less.
It is. They're playing with the island stuff, so that would work.
And even just doing, as Paul said, introducing Green Arrow into the larger world and then having a Green Arrow, Green Lantern film would be interesting. There's lots of interesting things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for a three-film trilogy of the Swamp Thing Animal Man crossover.
Connor, would you want to see some of the Wonder Woman mythology stuff played out?
No. Mostly because it doesn't really fit the tone.
Yeah.
That's one thing before we move on. I did want to mention something jarring about the movie. There's a lot of cursing in this movie.
It's PG-13.
I understand, but like, and it's not that I'm like offended at all, and I'm not like thinking about little kids. It just seems like they're trying a little too hard with the cursing. Like, it's like they're trying to be edgy, and it's not quite there, especially with the visual style.
Right.
So it's just something that stood out to me. Like, whoa, they're really.
It's a bold new era.
Yeah.
Paul. Uh-huh. Get in line or fall behind.
No, I agree with you, Paul. I think you wouldn't have missed anything by cutting it. And it did it was jarring the few times that they really.
Like, doesn't Green Lantern call Batman a douchebag at one point or something?
He does.
And I was like,
Cyborg says shit.
Yeah. You know, I think they say like kick his ass and stuff like that. And
yeah, I thought that
isn't bad. There a son of a bitch in there too?
There might be.
It's like they're hitting all of them. They got the bingo sheet out. But and seriously, like I curse like a sailor. But like
they're just taking a page out of AMC's book. Whatever you can get away with in AMC now.
Yeah,
it's good for the Justice League.
My only hope going forward is that you imagine Superman will be a prominent character in these films. I hope they sort of streamline that character a bit, figure him out.
What arc would you even, from the New 52 with Superman, would you even want to see?
I don't necessarily want to see any particular Superman arc, but he will be a major character in any Justice League film. And I assume they'll find a Superman story to do.
I mean, I guess they could do the Greg Pak Superman-Batman.
Yeah, book. They could do that, yeah.
But they don't really seem to know each other at all in the beginning of this movie, so that might be
The sort of continuity three card money that they're doing. You know, they met for the first time in this, they met for the first time in
yeah
that,
there's
Superman.
Some there's some timey-wimey stuff. As just speaking as a Superman fan, I would like them to not really do much with Superman in those movies.
just
leave him off to the side and play around with the other characters that they understand and comprehend. That's
I bet they will do the Crime Syndicate I don't necessarily want to see it.
Ah, yes. The
Forever Evil.
Yeah, but they did that film already, though.
Yeah, but not
the Crime Syndicate film. I would seriously be surprised if they don't do the JLA film, the Justice League vs. Justice League America film.
Yeah.
I think that's a no-brainer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one film they won't be doing is a time travel adventure, because they already did one in Justice League Adventures Trapped in Time, which was the film that they silently put out through Target stores in America, Target only. Which was the all ages Justice League of America film, which I found myself in Target the other day buying one of those plastic bins, and I was walking past the DVDs and I went, wait a minute. So I went over and found it and picked it up.
Yeah.
And it's not very good.
No.
It's just under an hour long. And
would you say it's not even like good for kids? I mean, because you're
probably fine for
kids. You're not a child.
It's probably fine for kids.
I've seen you.
I would have probably liked it as a kid. The main story is that in the midst of a very perfunctory fight that opens the film with the Justice League fighting the Legion of Doom, Lex Luthor gets blown up and encased in ice, much like Captain America. But he is not discovered like Captain America. In fact, he is now a museum piece in the future. We jump to the future for the Legion of Superheroes, but only for Karate Kid and the other one, whose name I keep forgetting.
The one with the wings?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name either.
Karate Kid and her name...
Dream Star?
Something like that. Dream Star, something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And, there's Dream in there somewhere.
So they see him in the museum and they're not yet full Legionnaires, and Karate Kid in his arrogance accidentally frees Lex Luthor in the future. He uses a time device to go back in the past, gather the Legion of Doom, go back further in the past, stop Superman from becoming Superman, intercepting the baby, because he finds out about it at the museum in the future. And finds out who Clark Kent is and Superman. And then the Justice League have to stop everyone.
Dawn Star.
There you go.
That was close. Dream Star. That was pretty good.
Dream Star is like a minivan.
There's Dream Girl is what we're thinking.
It was all right. I mean, there was some things I liked about it. I really liked Robin's redesign. Robin's part of the Justice League in this movie. I thought his costume was pretty cool. Aquaman was okay. It was actually, the costumes were also New 52 versions, and it was actually more egregious here with the lines and the sort of piping on Batman and Superman than we'd had in Justice League War.
Well, we can't have kids confused by why Superman is no longer wearing underwear.
The funny thing about that was Bizarro is in this, and Bizarro is wearing the underwear costume.
All right, that's
Bizarro is supposed to be the mirror image Superman. Why is he wearing the old costume?
Because Bizarro am wear underwear on outside.
I guess that makes more sense.
You'd be great if when they do the Throne of Atlantis storyline, if it's just the Aquaman from Batman the Brave and the Bold.
That'd be perfect.
Because he was pretty great.
So I would say if you're a fan of these, don't waste your time on Trapped in Time. Don't worry about it.
Unless you have little kids who might like it.
Little kids would probably really enjoy it. I would have loved it as a kid.
Yeah. But, don't discount that there are parents in this world who need to,
speaking get their kids to... For the people I normally interact with who don't have kids who like these films, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't go out of your way to find it, is what I'm saying.
Mike Romo's going to love
it. Hear that, man, children? Just listen. Yeah. Just if you absolutely must, rent it.
Listen, if it shows up on Netflix, give it a whirl.
It probably will show up on Netflix. No, well.
It's a Target exclusive now.
Listen, it's a Justice League movie with Aquaman, and how rare are those going to be going forward? So
this our main feature that'll show up on Netflix eventually.
Yes.
They all do. But
in fact, All Star Superman was on HBO earlier today.
I didn't know that HBO picked those up. Interesting.
Yeah. So the Justice League War, we all endorse it. Not great, but lots of fun. Great character work, and you're going to be spending a lot of time with these characters going forward. So you might as well check it out to familiarize yourself with them. Because you're going to see them twice a year for the next however many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back for Son of Batman. Not Batman and Son. Batman and Son is the frontier drama about John's Batman, who goes and starts a lumber company in Wyoming and with his sons.
And it fails miserably, because I can tell you, as a resident of Wyoming, not as many trees as you might hope.
Well, he was given bad information when he got off the boat. From,
why did you come to Casablanca, sir?
From Denmark. And Jan's Batman with his kids went to... It's not a good story. It's a sad story. It's really
there are no waters in Casablanca.
So we'll be back for Son of Batman And you can, in the meantime, you can go to iFanboy.com and you can comment on this show, tell us what you thought of the Justice League War. Or if you saw JLA Adventures Trapped in Time, which is the full title, you can tell us what you thought of that. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I did like that they used the old JLA logo from the Grant Morrison days, though.
I mean, there's a neighborhood in town called the Tree District because that's the area of town that has trees. And I think they'd be annoyed if you started cutting them down for lumber.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
All right. We'll be back next time. Until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
I wish I lived in the Tree District. I'm Ryan.